25 years earlier. Part 6.
If we get through this,
Castle said to Thandeka,
at least things will be better from now on.
Thandeka, distracted by her raw, aching wrists and the angry, muttering guards near Isomer, took a moment to process what he'd said.
What do you mean? What things?
He flushed deeper blue again.
I mean, between Irem and Erino, we can stop all this silly bickering and be allies. Friends, even.
There were more substantive disputes between their two planets. It wasn't merely a matter of bickering, and friendship took time. But Thandeka had seen the opportunity, too.
We'll open diplomatic relations. Allow some travel back and forth.
Castle looked more cheerful than Thandeka had yet seen him.
Oh, I love diplomatic events. Getting dressed up with the stole and the regalia and all that.
Thandeka couldn't help smiling back at him.
I have to admit, Dima loves any chance for us to wear the crown jewels. Sometimes we fight over the best tiaras. Splendid, splendid.
Castle nodded as though everything was already set.
It's good to have something to look forward to, isn't it?
Thandeka wasn't sure she believed they would outlive the day. But the Jedi were coming, and there was no point in not having hope.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Orla crept closer to the cave entrance. By then, she and the others could hear movement, even muttering. They had clear passage into the very chamber where the hostages were being held. Master Larrett, just ahead of Orla and Komak, held herself in battle stance, waiting for the right opportunity. Tactical training clearly indicated that the ideal moment for action would come when sounds were farthest from the entrance, and that they should enter swiftly, immediately scan for the hostages and the kidnappers, protect the hostages first, and go after the kidnappers second. Their lightsabers would provide cover that allowed them to first defend, then attack. Yet all Orla's instincts were telling her,
find the kidnappers and take them out first.
But tactical training existed for a reason. She decided not to ignore it. Heavy footsteps headed farther from the door. Master Larrett shifted position subtly, but enough to tell the apprentices the moment was at hand. The order was silent, but Orla heard it as surely as though her master had shouted,
go!
All three of them burst through the cave entrance at once. Orla's instincts were so strong they seemed almost to be steering her blade, but she held on, maintaining formation as they moved to surround and protect the hostages. A tall, heavily armed Lasat sprang forward, but not at the Jedi themselves. Most species couldn't have leapt over two humans and an Umbaran in one bound, but a Lasat could, and this one did. Orla realized what was happening too late to jump up and block him, only in time to think,
there's nothing between him and the hostages.
Thandeka screamed as Isomer's blaster pointed directly at her. It was the first and only time she'd screamed during her abduction, and despite her mortal terror, she hated that she'd broken even in the last split second of her life. Then Castle flopped toward her, not able to cover her body completely, but close. His blue face was only centimeters from hers. Their eyes met. The blaster bolt fired, deafening and blinding her as though it were the end of the world. Master Larrett spun around, slashing her lightsaber through the Lasat's midsection in the instant after he'd fired. The two halves, cauterized, fell to the floor, and then there was no sound at all. It was all over within 1 minute. Orla stared at the wreckage before them, the smoldering walls and crates, the dead bodies on the floor, shot by their own deflected blaster bolts. How could it have ended so quickly? The next sound she heard was sobbing. Orla turned to see Monarch Castle lying on the ground, his robe still smoldering from blaster burn. He was very near death. Queen Thandeka knelt beside him, tears streaming down her face.
"You covered me,"
Thandeka managed to say to Castle.
"You protected me. Why?
So you could go home to your queen."
Castle smiled weakly.
"Invite the next monarch to..."
His voice trailed off. His eyes went blank. Castle was dead. The queen leaned down, resting her forehead against Castle's shoulder, and surrendered to tears.
"He gave his life for mine. Then he died nobly,"
said Master Larrett, putting one hand on Queen Thandeka's back.
"He will be remembered."
Orla's instincts had told her to go after Isomer immediately. Why hadn't she listened to them?
"Because that's not what the Jedi Order says to do,"
she reminded herself. It would be many years before she fully reckoned with that moment and realized that if the Order was telling her to ignore the Force, it wasn't the Force that was wrong. Komak watched Queen Thandeka with an emotion so strange it took him a few seconds to recognize it as envy. She could cry for her loss. He could not even acknowledge his. "Master Simix would have told me to bury the grief," Komak told himself. "There's no place for it in the Jedi, no place for it within you." So he buried it as deeply as a mine, one that could wait years before exploding. A few days later, and half a galaxy away, word of the Directorate's failure reached the Hutts. Reports indicated that not only had Lord Isomer been killed, but the information gathered at the kidnapper's lair had allowed the authorities to track down and arrest nearly every top official in the entire organization. The Directorate was gone, which was just what the Hutts had hoped for. They'd set up a fool's errand, laid a snare. The Directorate had been fool enough to step in it gladly. Now, the only major criminal syndicate in that area of space was no more. So whenever the Hutts decided to move in, be that 1 year later or 25, nothing would stand in their way.